I think you should tell the story of the squirrel in Chicago.
If I could be a part of any, like, you know, non, like, monumental, life-changing thing over again, just, like, you get a playback of one thing that's not going to dramatically alter the course of time.
Okay.
I would just be in that situation. I would have been standing there with Potsy when this happened, because I know we would still be laughing today. Every time we take a trip to Chicago, my mother will make a bag of what we call puppy chow. People have other names for
there
it.
My mom used to call them sweet nothings.
Okay,
which
so
I think is funny. And I think other people call them muddy buddies.
Muddy buddies. So, yeah, like Chex Mix, chocolate, peanut butter, and powdered sugar.
Yes.
And I appreciate it. My mom is dramatically over the top on the powdered sugar. Powdered sugar may be my favorite vehicle of sweetness out there. I just think you put powdered sugar on anything and I'm in. I don't care. I don't know why. It doesn't feel like... It feels like if you eat like crystallized sugar on something,
right,
that's not good. But when it turns to powdered sugar, it's like, all right, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like if you took a brownie and sprinkled crystallized sugar on it, it would be like, that's a little extra. But when you completely dust it and cover it in powdered sugar, it's like, that's pretty and it tastes good.
Yeah, plus it elevates it. It makes it look like a classier brownie than like those ones that you get that have the colored sprinkles, the cosmic brownies.
Those are good.
You a cosmic brownie guy?
Yeah, they're delicious.
Why do they call it cosmic?
Because those sprinkles look like planets.
Do they look like planets? They're like...
Cosmic brownies are good.
You didn't answer the question. You just...
I don't know why they're called
You just
cosmic
deflected.
Cakes. Why are they called Little Debbie cakes?
Well, because Debbie is...
Why are they called Twinkies?
Well, that's a really good question.
Twinkies are a gift from the Lord. I don't care what anybody says. I think they're amazing. See, I used to eat a pack of Twinkies before every baseball game in high school.
There's just surprising things about you when people know how healthy you are. Like, one, that at any moment you could, like, just pull the e-brake, cut the wheel, and go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac.
Yep.
Big Mac and fries.
I love Big Macs. I haven't had a Big Mac in a long time, though.
No, yeah. You don't really eat food like that at all. Or that you would eat it, that you would put a Twinkie inside your body.
Oh, my gosh. I'd put 14 of them in there. They're so good. I think they're 150 a pop.
Calories?
Yeah.
Are you a Pop-Tart guy?
It's never going to be my, like, it's never going to be my like, choice of sweet thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, I like a Pop-Tart. So, okay, so Puppy Chow.
Yeah, Puppy Chow.
Chicago.
Powdered sugar. Heavy on the powdered sugar for me.
Very heavy. That's important. So Potsy was cleaning out our vehicle after we rolled up to the hotel in Chicago and found this bag of Puppy Chow that he didn't really know existed. And he thought, sweet, I'm going to take this to my hotel room and I'm going to eat it. Yes. And when he got to his hotel room, he realized there's no Puppy Chow left. It's just like 3 inches of powdered sugar. It was thick. A lot of powdered sugar. And where our hotel rooms sit at this hotel complex, it almost feels like there are these like row of bushes outside everyone's door. And Potsy just, you know, out of anger, dumped out the powdered sugar behind one of these bushes to throw the bag away.
Because there's a trash can right there. He could have just thrown the bag away.
Yeah, but thankfully he didn't.
That's true.
So, weirdly, in Oak Park, Illinois, there is a surplus of squirrels. I don't understand it. Like, literally, I was on a run that same morning, and I picked, like, a little cherry off a tree and tossed it to a squirrel, and it, like, walked over and tried to eat it, like, 3 feet away from me. And I was like, you're too comfortable with people. But I guess in a city of 10 million,
right,
you're just used to them all the time. So Potsy dumped the powdered sugar out. And then went to sleep. The next morning he woke up and realized there are squirrels everywhere outside. He just looked around and there's just squirrels. So I don't know what prompted him to do this, but he looked over the little hedge and saw I don't remember what he described the size of the squirrel as.
He said a
mafia boss.
He said a fat mafia boss.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
A giant squirrel was sitting in the powdered sugar eating.
Obviously the kingpin, the ringleader.
Like literally a foot away from Potsy. And when it saw Potsy, it froze. Was not going to leave its powdered sugar, but it froze and just had the tiniest little cough and powdered sugar shot out of everywhere.
Just a cloud of powdered sugar.
Just a cloud of powdered sugar.
It was the squirrel of Wall Street.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. And if I could do anything, I would have watched. I would have been standing there with Potsy when that happened, because I know we would not. We'd still be on the ground in Chicago.
And you wouldn't have come home.
No, I would not. I would have just said, I live here now. Tell Maddie I live here now. Potsy and I are laughing.
Like, the idea of a little squirrel just looking up and seeing Potsy and just coughing. And then the cloud of powdered sugar. It's just so beautiful.
I can hear Potsy's laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In
yeah.
that moment. Just to himself.
He just goes super wheeze.
Just insta-wheeze. Which is... You've adopted a wheeze laugh.
Look, we talked about this last time. It's
an age statement when it comes to wheeze.
There's a threshold in which your laugh just immediately wheezes. It's coming for you, big boy.
Yeah, I'm excited for that day because...
Like, what I've heard is first the ankles go and then the eyesight and then comes the wheeze.
It's just fun for everybody involved when someone wheeze laughs. It just adds a dollop of everything good to the world.
Our kids can always tell when Austin Witt is at our small group because of the volume of his laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like on Thursday, I'll see Jack and he's like, oh, how's Austin doing? We heard him last night.
How's Austin doing? That's amazing.
That's classic. Well, welcome to Ancient and New. I wish we could have all seen the squirrel.
Me too.
Do you have some scripture for us that you'd like to share?
Is that what we do on here?
We get there.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point.
Eventually.
While you're looking for that, this morning at Campaigners, Manny and I were talking about how Anna is running for homecoming.
Yeah.
Or she's on the homecoming court or whatever. And then
when is homecoming?
Not this Friday, but next.
Okay.
And
they play at Dobbins Bennett this Friday. I'm asking
at home, two home games in a row.
Okay.
And we'll just go ahead and discuss this on the podcast. Yeah. But Manny said, he was like, do you think Nora's going to run for homecoming? And immediately Tyreek just started laughing. He was like, what are you talking about, Manny? No.
Tyreek is so funny.
So funny, man.
He's the funniest person I know.
All right, where are we going?
I think we'll probably go to Psalm 136.
Let's do it.
I don't know where I'm going to read, though.
Well, this psalm does have a lot of stuff. It has kind of a rhythm to it, and so you can kind of just take your pick, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's just one purpose that I kind of wanted to point out in this. And honestly, I think probably 3 or 4 years ago, we looked at the same psalm, which we're probably getting to that point in this podcast where some things are going to be doubled back.
It's hard to know whether or not we're going to, you know, spend much time in like Habakkuk.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, here's the thing. If I say the exact same thing I said 4 years ago, fine. That's crazy, though. I mean, but maybe. Right. Who knows?
Yeah, but 4 years ago, Tom is a different fella.
Yeah.
So probably even if you look at the same scripture, you will have evolved.
Right. Right. Okay. So I'll just start in verse 1.
Okay.
It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. We could keep going. The thing that I thought is fantastic. I mean, just the idea of God's love enduring forever. I don't know that we can completely fathom that in any way, shape, or form. I think it's really easy for that to just be one of those things that it's like, well, yeah, God's love endures forever. You know, it's easy to slap that on a coffee mug or a bumper sticker or a whiteboard somewhere and just say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Yeah.
It's easy for people to look at that and think, well, that's cool. That's a cool fact about God. I don't know what would happen to us though if we took time. Like, what would it be like if we took 30 minutes and just sat on one of these verses and truly thought about what that meant and all the things that it cancels out?
Whoa, yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Okay, that's so a really cool...
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Okay, so if that's true, that he is good, like, that is just a very pointed, clear statement about the character of God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There's no questioning about it. There's no... What was that noise?
It was our neighbor's dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Lila. Lila's a bloodhound.
Well... Golly.
She
it sounded like a, I don't know, like a mule.
Like standing up. Wait, did it?
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so anyways, yeah. Like, if you think about what it means that God is good, and what if you did like a cross analysis of what it means he isn't, then? Like, if God is good, then he isn't. You could just start filling in the blanks. He is not this. He's not this.
Vindictive.
There's a list, like, of things that we probably all believe.
Yeah,
it cancels out.
He's not a jerk.
And then you go to the next one. He's God of gods. Like, he is the God of God. He is over all things. And, like, you know, it's interesting because ostensibly everyone... I don't really know what that word means. You use it, so sometimes I use it ostensibly.
It means like... It means...
I think I figured it out.
Like, presumably, okay. Supposed to, but it also has the air of, like, we all know it's not going to happen.
Oh, okay. So maybe I misused it.
Like, when I say, ostensibly, this is a Bible study podcast, it's like, it's supposed to be, but we...
Right.
Sometimes we don't really get...
Well, okay, so, ostensibly, we're all monotheistic Christians... On the outset, like, if anyone who's listening to this, I could be wrong. A lot of people who are listening to this are probably saying, like, yeah, I believe in God. I don't have another God within my religion that I believe
in. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not what our religion is. And it's probably a pretty, like, watered down Christian thing to talk about, like, other gods in our life, right, like, quote unquote. Right, yeah, yeah. But I don't think we do that enough. I really don't. I don't think we think about things that take up parts of our heart more than they should. I don't think we give enough weight to that. I don't think we honestly, I don't think we question that enough in ourselves. Like, what do I really care about? What gets me fired up? What, and like, that's not me saying there aren't things that you can't get excited about, but I do think it's worth taking inventory every once in a while.
Yeah. Or if you just think about, like, the place that God is supposed to have in my heart, what else has that place?
Right. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so that's the next one. Like, what is that offset? And anyways, the other thing that I thought was, you could get on the list of that. I just read a couple of those. Who alone does great wonders? Like, that's a cool one. Who by his understanding made the heavens? It just, like, his understanding. That's such a cool thought to me, to think about God's understanding and think about what all he's created. But the thing I wanted to land on was the idea that his love endures forever. And to think about all the things that cancels out in my life, it's a giant eraser of things that I tend to believe.
Ooh, that's cool.
It's a fire extinguisher. It's a fire hose. It's all those things to a lot of things that I tend to believe that just aren't true and can easily slip into my head and ruin my day, or can easily spark off some bout with fear and worry and who knows and insecurity. All those things just can get completely pummel my day. But what if I truly believed that God's love endured forever? That is such a big statement that we can't possibly fathom. But what we can do with it is think about all the things that it definitely cancels out in my day-to-day life.
That's such a cool thought. And I looked it up a minute ago just because I wanted to make sure, but it's not just that his love endures forever, but it's that word chesed. It's that Hebrew word that's like, yeah, chesed. You gotta put a little hawk in there.
Yeah.
Chesed.
Chesed.
And like, the things that are combined into that word are so rich. Like, it means love. It means passion. It means affection. But it also means, like, covenant and promise, contract, obligation. It's like, it's this combination of sweet, tender, passionate affection combined with a contractual, binding, legal, forever promise. And so that's why Sally Lloyd-Jones in the Jesus Storybook Bible says, how does she say it? His never giving up, always, you know, never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. Or
yeah, I was reading this morning in the F.B. Mayer Daily Devotions thing.
Yeah.
And he used the word mercy, which I don't know if that falls under that umbrella or not, or he was just wrong. But I thought
that's amazing. No, he's not wrong. A lot of times that sometimes in the Old Testament when you see the word mercy, it's also chesed.
That's awesome. And so I love that you pointed that out, because that adds a whole new layer to this.
Yeah, it's just such a rich word.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like when somebody says like, I love the Vols, it's like, I'm sure you do. But like, or somebody says like, I love chocolate cake. Or somebody says, I love cosmic brownies.
I wouldn't say I love cosmic brownies. I would just say, like, maybe I did. Someone's probably going to go pull that and quote it and send it back to me and say how badly I screwed up. That's fine. Sure, I love cosmic brownies. I don't know the last time I ate one. I'm just saying they're good. I don't even know where I was going with that. I was going to say something,
well,
but I forgot.
So what I was saying was like, you know, it's like, We throw that word around. It's like, oh man, I love your jacket. It's like, in other words, it's cool. I like it. It looks good on you. That's what we mean when we say that. But when this verse says like, his love endures forever, it's like his affection, his passion, his promise, his contract, his mercy, like it's rich.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I feel like it's a bit of a transition into what you're speaking about.
Ooh. Well, let's do that.
I hope it is, because I just said that. What if it's not?
Oh, it's gonna transition. Great. I'm sharing something from Jeremiah chapter 31, and I just want to say that I've earned it, because I've plowed all the way through some really difficult stuff in Jeremiah, and just like... So.
Y'all don't know this, but Lee's dog is sitting in their windowsill behind the curtain. She just like pulled a Houdini. I have no idea where she is. Her tail just poked out. Now
there
her
she
nose.
Goes.
Hello, Yoshi.
She's back. Well, we have this big picture window in our living room that looks out on our backyard, and now it looks out on a whole lot more of our backyard because Thomas helped me clear out a ton of
bushes 14 and stuff. Months ago.
Yeah,
I didn't really follow through with the rest of that contract. Hi, Yosh.
But in any case, when Yoshi sits in the windowsill and looks out in the backyard, Christy calls that Yoshi's screen time. She's watching her TV. She likes to look out at the squirrels and the chipmunks and the deer. Okay, Jeremiah 31. And I have plowed through all of Jeremiah to get here. And there's some like really difficult bits in Jeremiah. It's tough. But Jeremiah 31 is like really the payout. I'm going to start in verse 31. So Jeremiah 31:31. And if some of this feels familiar and you're like, I've never even read Jeremiah, it's probably because you read it quoted in the book of Hebrews. Because it is quoted in chapter 8 of Hebrews. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. I'm going to hit pause for a second and say, a covenant, if you don't know, covenant is just a deal or a contract. And when God rescued the Israelites from Egypt and brought them into the promised land, he made a contract with them through Moses. And it was the Ten Commandments and the law. And it was like, basically he was saying, I'm giving you this land. Your job is to live according to the rules that I lay down. And they all said, we will. And they never did. And so they, you know, they brought all these curses on their own heads and in their lives. And it was just like, here's our deal. Our deal is I make the rules. I give you all kinds of amazing stuff. You keep the rules and it'll go great. and they just never, ever did it, ever. So he says, it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Okay, verse 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So when he gave them the first covenant, it was like literally on stone tablets, and Moses had them, and you go to Moses, the prophet, or you go to the priest, Aaron, and they tell you what the law is, and you try to keep it. But this new one, I will put it in your minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Mm. So cool. And there's even some really, really great stuff later, but I kind of want to just cut out there and just talk about that he's like, okay, the old deal was I gave you rules and you were supposed to keep them and you didn't. And it was just a sin fest. Here's the new deal. The new covenant is I'm just going to forgive you everything. And because of that, like, and everybody's going to know me. You're not going to have to go to a priest to figure out what it means to walk with me or to know me. And then they like read the thing and interpret it for you. I'm actually going to come down and put my heart in your heart. And I'm going to completely forgive you. And I will never remember your sins. And we're just going to know each other. And like, when I hear that, I just want to take like the biggest sigh. I just want to prop my feet up. I want to be sitting on a screened-in porch, because that's the amount of relaxation that gives my heart. Yeah. You know, it's like it removes anxiety. And to borrow your phrase, like, it cancels things out in my life. It cancels out the fear that I'm a disappointment. Mm-hmm. It cancels out the burden of failure, because I do fail to keep the rules. And he's just like, yeah, we're going to cancel that. And I'm going to completely forgive you. And I'm not going to remember any of the times that you break the rules. Yeah. Wow. It's just the gospel. It's just so sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could be the theme of our episode today. It's just the idea that there are things that if we remembered just more often, I think our lives would be dramatically different. I think a lot of things that are really easy to fight every day, yes, could go away. I mean, like, I'm not saying that everything would be awesome always, but I am saying, like, there are just simple things, simple thoughts that get canceled out when we remember these simple things more often. The truth about who God is, like,
yes,
that takes away a lot of shame in our lives. The truth about how he feels about us, the fact that it says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Think about, like, how much time we spend worrying about how God feels about us when we screw up, or exactly, how he thinks about us, or how that changes our eternal destiny, or whatever the thing, like, just the pointless things that we think about those situations, because those are pointless.
Yes.
It's not like I'm saying, hey, don't be this anymore and you can't control it. What I'm saying is there are pointless things that as Christians we just need to get rid of. And a lot of it is like worrying about, thinking about, pondering on, being ashamed of things, yeah, that we have done and will inevitably do again as followers of Jesus. Like, what if we remembered what he thought about them and how he thought about us, and yeah, that he's just like willing to forgive. And I think sadly that comes because culturally, and not just within, actually badly within Christianity, nobody's good at forgiving people.
Yeah.
We're all terrible at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's quick to forgive. Everybody's quick to hold grudges and be angry. No one's quick to forget something someone's done when they're sincere. And in fact, nobody's good at apologizing. We're terrible at it. We are terrible at it. And I think that easily portrays over to how we view God. And it sucks, yes, because yes, yes, he's great at it. Mm. He's unbelievable at it. He's the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
And I think, just in general, if we got better at saying sorry to people, and like, I get it. I mean, there are times I think in everybody's life where they genuinely say sorry to someone and it doesn't work. And you're just like, well, that sucks. What do I do? You're right, never going to forgive me. You know, like that, I'm having all kinds of flashbacks from my childhood. Like,
certainly.
And it's hard, and it makes people panic. You're like, well, I'll just never apologize again, which that's dramatic. But like, none of us are good at apologizing. None of us are good at forgiving. We're all really good at being angry. We're all really good at holding grudges. And somehow we project all that onto God.
Yeah.
What if we believed this?
Exactly.
I just went on a rant.
I love it. I love it when you get...
It was in the chamber, I guess. I don't know. It just came out of nowhere.
I love it when T-Cox goes on a tear. There's a... Right outside my... In my front yard, there's a... We have this hickory tree and this white oak. They're both big trees with tons of leaves. Like, it's hard for me to describe how many leaves are about to be on my yard. We drove home the other day from something, and there were, like, a few leaves on the yard. And Jack just goes, oh, crap. And I was like, what? And he was like, it's about to be leaf season. And I was like, yeah, but you get that sweet, sweet cash. And he was like, I want the cash. I just don't want to do the work.
You're like, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
That's not how it works.
But like, so our little front stoop, like you have to walk up some steps to get up to our porch and into our door, like a really janky version of like the Brooklyn brownstones. And like the, and that porch and that step and those steps and the sidewalk around it, they just get completely plastered with leaves like several times a day. And I have a battery powered leaf blower that just sits very near the front door. And just a couple times a day, I'll just whoosh, and just clean off that porch and that sidewalk. And like, it's amazing the difference. It's spacious. It's nice. It looks really good. Like, I actually like the look of like a clean sidewalk, but the grass is still covered in brown and orange leaves.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, it's just such a, it's like a pleasant, spacious, nice thing, but it's cool. Like how the leaf blower can just, it's like, boom, in a second, the whole thing has changed. Well, that makes me think of this. There's a songwriter I love called Pierce Pettis, and he has a song called Love Will Always Find Its Way. And this is the last verse of the song. I cannot escape the fact that I have made some trouble for myself. And the trouble so deep, but that water was sweet by the river where I knelt. And like, pause, like, I think we can all understand that of like, I know I screwed myself up with this, but like, I also wanted to. Like, I made a mess and I wanted to make the mess and now it's a mess. And then, yeah, so the trouble so deep, but the water was sweet by the river where I knelt. Oh, my love, wash me clean like a sidewalk in the rain. Take my arm, walk with me. Love will always find its way. It's one of my favorite lyrics of any song ever. Just that imagery of being washed clean like a sidewalk in the rain. Or like us like using the leaf blower and getting those leaves off the porch and the sidewalk. And like, if I really, really believed that God's heart for me was... No, I cleaned you off. You're clean. It's like, I just feel like my rest and my spaciousness and my self-opinion, all that stuff would just be so different. So different.
Yeah. That's cool.
It is. And also, when we take Yoshi out on that porch, there's always like a couple of seconds where she's real pouncy because we do have like a kabillion squirrels on that hickory tree.
She's just ready to roll.
Oh, she's ready to roll.
She caught one yet?
She's never caught a squirrel. I hope if she catches, it would have to be that big fat mafia boss squirrel. That's the only one that she could actually catch.
Powdered sugar boy.
We did have a raccoon up in that white oak one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
It's not fun. I really, really don't like raccoons.
What? They're so cool. They're kind of smart. They're really smart. They kind of have thumbs too.
They need to go down. I had to call Sam and ask him to come over here and get that squirrel out of my tree.
The raccoon?
Yeah, raccoon. Not our cat. Squirrels.
Our cat ate an entire chipmunk in front of me the other day.
What?
Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of times they'll bring him to you and they won't do anything. It's just like, here you go. It just ate it. I watched him. I got really close to him, too. Like, sometimes they'll start growling. He just was like, hi.
He's like, hey, are you going to be sitting here for a minute? I got this whole thing I'm going to do.
Yeah, don't be grossed out.
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a few days, though, so I'm a little... You should never know.
Maybe the chipmunk turned on him.
It's just the time of year where cats get cold and they, like, hide up in the engine of your car to get warm at night.
Really?
Yeah, it's a thing, so...
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Folks, thanks for joining us. And thanks for texting us. Especially thanks for texting us and helping us work our way through the great dog debate of 2021.
It needs to be over.
Well, I think it ended when you decided to admit that you had a change of heart.
I don't know that I ever did that. Did I?
I can produce the text thread.
Okay.
Guys, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Okay. Well, there come a day when I'm good enough to sit down with God and simply be loved. When I can relax and not be afraid and just be myself, the kid that he made. Except you say to me, that day is today, and that sun is right now. 'Cause you pay my way, and you have worked it out. That I've seen, when I can be new, and I can be well, and I can have hope, the kind that won't fail. It must be fantasy, except you say to me. There was a point to me being born, when I can know I'm no accident, that I've been designed by a God with a plan. There must be fantasy, except you say to me.